like if you take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. We'll begin in just a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Our God is a God of purpose. He has meaning for our lives. He does not allow things to happen to you or to me without purpose and meaning. And in all of it, we're to see Him and His greatness, understanding more of Him, knowing Him in a more intimate way. When we come to the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, most Bible students would say this is the most beautiful portion of Scripture, this love chapter in all the Bible. I'll leave that to your opinion, because all of it is the Word of God, every word of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, the Bible says. But as we come to this passage, I've had several delays, as you well know, and I've just taken all that from the Lord, and I'm asking God to guide me and help me. I do desire to please the Lord and to be a blessing to you, a great blessing to you. But if you look with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." I want you to look with me, please, if you would, at the closing part of the 12th chapter. And God gives us this word to prepare us as we move into the next chapter. The Bible says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark that expression in the 31st verse of chapter 12, "a more excellent way." It's possible that you could live your entire Christian life and never discover a more excellent way. It's possible that I could pastor this church for all these years and spend half a century as I've spent in the ministry and never discover a more excellent way. Paul is dealing with a troubled church here in Corinth. And when you come to this 12th chapter, you're dealing with gifted people. People have all ability. People who are wonders about what they can do. But then he comes to the conclusion of the chapter and says, but there is a more excellent way. If you remember, you and I often are enamored with certain people and their ability, maybe even their looks or their speaking. But something about them charms us. And we begin to value who they are and what they have above other things. But God's word says, when you consider all of that, there is a more excellent way. And this more excellent way is available to all people who know the Lord Jesus. It is a more excellent way. Notice how strong the speech is here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, and we're using the thought of love. This is a word God uses, meaning love, and the purest, greatest form of love. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, you listen to someone and they're marvelous. They just speak like an angel. And you think, I've never heard anyone like that. Never seen anyone like that. Maybe it's a singer of Christian songs. You say, that's the greatest singer I ever heard. And you're carried away with him or carried away with her. I know people like that. You certainly know people like that. But God's word says, if they don't have love, they're just like sounding brass, a lot of noise, and tinkling cymbals. He goes on to say, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, we've just read earlier in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, about what capable people, how they can prophesy, how they have such great faith. But God says, consider those people who have all those gifts. And if they don't have love, he uses this expression, I am nothing. I am nothing. We've made a lot to do out of nothing so often. The word of God goes on to say, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Think of people who have displayed such benevolent behavior. And many people, perhaps sometimes hundreds and thousands of people, know what they've given and done. But God says when they do it without love, it is meaningless and it profits nothing. No wonder the Lord's word says there's a more excellent way. I want to live and I want you to live that more excellent way. You have that desire in your heart to live the more excellent way? He goes on to say to us as he begins to describe love. Not define it, but describe its behavior. He uses these brief phrases. All verbs, by the way, no adjectives. All action. All doing something. And he lists them. I can't cover them all at one time. And you can be very thankful that I don't try. That's something you can grin about. Charity suffereth long. It's kind. Envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Now, if you make that list your list, and those behaviors your behaviors, These actions, your actions, these are what I'm calling the expressions of love. The expressions of love. Often you and I think that we just get by just perfectly well by saying, I love you. I really care about you. I do truly love you. And that has meaning. It holds feeling and meaning. But God says true love, the right kind of love, real love that comes from God and enables us to love like we ought to love, is expressive. And he goes so far as to say these are the expressions of that love. Think of it. Now we're going through these one by one, just a few of them in this message. But I want you to hold your place here and turn back with me to what the Lord Jesus said in the 13th chapter of John. In John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, there's an amazing expression given to us at the close of the verse. And it says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I want you to take the time to mark that expression at the closing of verse 1 in chapter 13 of John. He loved them unto the end. I'm thinking about the years I've spent in the ministry. And I don't imagine that Jesus would have just said to the disciples, I really love you guys. I really do love you guys. You fellows are really loved. And I see a lot of Christian people treat folks like that. I really love my family. I really love my wife. I really love my children. I really love the church. Well, demonstrate it. Demonstrate it. By the things God gives us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He loved them to the end. This is an endless love. Think of that when we come to what he says about love in a moment in one of its great expressions. He loved them to the end. There was no limit to his love. It was a limitless love. Now, how do we do that? You know, the evil of the world waxes worse and worse. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. That means it's getting more difficult to love people because their behavior is getting worse and worse. Think of that. Think of it. And if you and I will be honest with one another, we meet people that are difficult to love. We watch them behave a certain way, and it's things they're doing we don't like, and they're difficult to love. Sometimes the people we know that we're supposed to love, that we're expected to love, behave in such a way that makes them extremely difficult to love. But God says we're to love them. How is that accomplished? How is that accomplished? How do we love this increasing unloveliness? How is it that that's done? I want you to go with me to John chapter 21 for a moment. You remember this story, I would imagine, when Jesus, after his resurrection, meets with his disciples on the shore of Galilee. They dine and then he asks questions. Remember, Peter, the big fisherman here on the Galilee, had denied that he knew Christ three times before the cock crew. And the questioning begins in verse 15 of John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, if you mark the word lovest, that's the strongest word that can be used concerning love. It's actually the love that God gives that's shed abroad in our heart. It's the same expression the Lord uses in the book of Romans, that he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the same word used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's saying to Peter, do you love me, Peter, with the strongest love you could have, a love that comes from God and God alone that's expressed toward me? Do you love me? And Peter answers him. Notice, please, He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. If you'll mark that word love, it means affection. In other words, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me with the strongest love imaginable? And Peter says, I really do care about you. I have affection for you. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. This is Jesus again in verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Still using the strong word. Lovest thou me? Peter answering saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I have affection for thee. I care about thee. I really have feelings for you, but not the strong love you're talking about. He's so ashamed that he bragged in front of everyone about how great a Christian he was. He's so ashamed that he said, though everybody will die, they say, but I'm going to lay down my life for you. He's so ashamed of his failure as he denied the Lord before a little maid out in front of Caiaphas' dwelling, the high priest's house. And so he uses in response back to Jesus, I really do have affection for you. But it doesn't end there. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, Jesus reaches out and he takes Peter's term, Peter's word. He says, Peter, do you have affection for me? Peter knew in the language Christ was speaking exactly what he was saying. He was using the same exact word, this affection word, not the strong love for, word for love. So he put it to Peter a different way this time. He took Peter's term and said, do you have affection for me? Peter was grieved. He was grieved because he knew what had gone on in his heart. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Lord, you know everything. You know what happened to me. You know how I failed you. You know I have fallen short. You know I did not live up to expectation. You know in the hour of great trial, I was not ready for the challenge and the test. You know everything. You know I love you. What happens to us? We start out in a blaze as Christians. We have the highest dreams, the most noble ideas about how we're going to live as Christians. And then mediocrity, some dim passion, far removed from what God wants, is settled for. And what Paul writes, he says, listen again to the very words. I want you to hear it. He's saying to the reader here, I want you to know that there's a more excellent way. There's a more excellent way. May I be so bold as to say most people in this place listening to me today are living far below that more excellent way. You're a Christian. You've asked God to forgive your sin, and by faith you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. May I say this to you? So often in my life, I live so far below that more excellent way. Can you think of anything more tragic than the life God has designed for us to live, not being lived? Can you think of anything more tragic than me not being the Christian God saved me to be? Can you think of that? Then let's transfer it to your marriage, your home, your relationship with your wife, your husband. Can you imagine that God has a more excellent way for you as a wife, for you as a husband and you're living far below it? Can you imagine as a parent, God has for you a more excellent way to be a parent and you're living far below it? Why do we settle for this? Why do we settle for it? How can I love like I'm supposed to love? How can I love beyond my ability? How is it that I could love to what God expects me to love and discover this more excellent way? And to admit, to be willing to admit, no matter how well I could speak or how many great things I can come up with or how I could woo people with my ideas and all my thoughts, no matter how impressive I might be, and I know preachers and evangelists and teachers in Christian work who are that way, impressive as can be, but God says it is to no profit, it is nothing, because there's no love, not my love in your heart. You see, the first great hurdle that we all face is to come clean with God and to admit it. I want to show you something from the book of Galatians. Would you turn there, please? You see, God calls on spiritual people. Look in Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, someone is hurting, someone is caught red-handed in sin. And God needs someone to help that person. And so he reaches out for someone to help that person. And this is how he qualifies what he wants to find in that person. He says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, would you mark that word? You're spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Lift up the fallen, care for the dying. God says, that's the kind of labor I must have. Do you know that's often needed in your marriage relationship? That's often needed with your own children? It's often needed with a co-worker? But you and I do not qualify unless we're spiritual. We don't qualify for the task. Now look back in chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit. This is a fruit, singular. Fruit has 9 graces. And look at the first grace that comes from this fruit. It is, the fruit of the Spirit is love. In other words, the love that God requires is an impossible love to have apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, we've established that in the introductory message I gave you. But I need to repeat it. I need to repeat it for myself. I need to repeat it for you. That the love that God requires me to have, I cannot produce in my own life. I have to know the Lord is my Savior. I have to have been born again, ask God to forgive my sin, and receive the Lord Jesus in me, and Christ in me, the hope of glory, Christ living in me, enables me to have that love. He enables me to share His love. How does that happen? You see, our love for Christ determines the quality of our love toward everyone else. You see, there is a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is the love of Christ in us. That's the more excellent way. How do you learn to love the Lord? Look what the Bible says. We don't have better answers than God has, do we? If you look in the book of 1 John just for a moment, the Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 19, we love Him, that is God. We love Him because He first loved us. It is It is a response to God. So if we have not the right response to God in His Word, dealing with His Spirit, allowing the Lord to work in us, then we are not going to have the love of God in us. We're not. I would say in most churches, what people do is just talk about it. But I do not want to go through the ministry God has given me here without giving myself and you, all of you, the opportunity to have a more excellent way and have the expressions of love that God tells us about in His Word. These expressions of love. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice, please, the Bible says in verse 4, let's write it down. This is the first one. This is the first expression of love. We're able to do this only by God's grace, Christ's love shed abroad in us. And the Lord says, charity, love, suffereth long. Suffereth long. Now, God gives it just this way. Not just suffereth, but suffereth long. It suffereth long. It really has no end. It may have a wearing out point, but you renew it again and again so that when you're running near empty, you get filled up again. It suffereth long. It is long-suffering. There's such forbearance in it. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm sick of him, I'm sick of her, I've had enough. I've taken all I can take. When we talk like that, we are not talking like Christians. There is a more excellent way. God gives us the strength, the love, to suffereth long. Hold your place here. We're coming right back. But I want you to turn with me to what the Lord Jesus responded. In Matthew chapter 18, Peter is leading the disciples, and he has a big question. The Lord's talking about forgiveness and what he expects. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. And then he answered his own question. You ever done that? In other words, I'm going to ask you a question, Lord, and I'm going to tell you what I think is a good answer. How often will my brother, should I say, how often will these disciples, these other disciples, get on my nerves? How often am I going to have it out with my mother-in-law? He had one. How often am I going to take all this stuff from these other fishermen? How long must I bear with all these ignorant people who call themselves Christians? How long do I have to put up with this stuff that people have no real knowledge about but think they have knowledge about? You fill in the blanks. Anything you want to talk about. She does this all the time. I mean all the time. He does this every time we deal with this. All the time. I've had about as much as I can take from this kid. Does it sound like you or me? He says, how oft? Till seven times? I mean, he thought, well, you know, that's good. I'd be doing really good. Not just once, twice, three times, four, five, six, seven. I'm keeping score. I've got a notebook. I remember the first time you ever did this and you said you'd never do it again. And you did. And you cried and said, I'll never do it again. And you did. And you told me you'd never say that again. And you did. You told me you'd never respond like that again. And you did. Now, this is the seventh time. That's enough for anybody. Well, let's get Jesus in this conversation. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, some of you have already got your pen and paper out, figuring 490 times, that's it for me. That's not what the Lord meant. He meant stop counting. There's no end to it. Because love suffereth long. Christ demonstrated these expressions of love in his relationship with his disciples. Christ demonstrated these expressions of love with others. Can you imagine Jesus on his way to the cross and they're fighting about who's the greatest? One mother, and you know it's always hard to deal with mothers. Mother comes in. She's the mother of James and John. She says, I want my boys to be the greatest in your kingdom. I want one of them to sit on your left and one of them on your right. And the Lord said, that's not my business to take care of that. And by the way, James and John, James the first martyred. John lived the longest and perhaps some say suffered the most. Mother wanted it. But the Lord said it wasn't mine to give. What did Jesus do? He suffered long. You say, I tell you what, nobody knows what I've had to put up with. No, God knows. And he is able to give you his grace and his love to go beyond any limit you thought you had. And any limit I thought I had. If I want to truly live a more excellent way. It suffereth long. So I'm just content, you know. I'm one of those guys and I'm one of those girls and I give it back just the way I got it. Good, that's fine. That's the way you want to live. You won't be happy. Your home won't be happy. Your marriage won't be happy. Your children won't be happy. Your sons and daughters will do everything they possibly can to get out of that home as quickly as they can. The girls may marry anybody that walks through town just to get a free ride out of that house. Because that's what you've created. The Bible says the true expression of Christian love suffereth long. Suffereth long. You have to keep giving it to the Lord and say, God, I need grace. Give it to the Lord. I need grace. Give it to the Lord. You say, I have it in me to retaliate. We're going to talk about that. That's involved in all of this. It suffereth long. Look at the second thing God says here. You understand why it's going to take me a while to get through all of them. He says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Kind. How can you keep that kindness in your expression of love, in your voice, in your behavior? How do you keep that kindness? I want you to take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Luke. In the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And the Bible says in verse 35 of Luke chapter 6. But love your enemies. I can't even love my friends. You know. But he said, love your enemies. I mean, I got a lot of preachers it's hard for me to love. The monsters. I got a lot of work to do. How many of you have got a lot of work to do? Why don't you get honest for once in your life? With family members, neighbors. He said, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Notice carefully. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Isn't that marvelous? He is kind to the unthankful. Now let's be honest. Let's just take an honest moment here for a moment. How many of you said, one thing that burns me up, I mean just one thing that really burns me up, is for people not to express gratitude. I mean, I've done unimaginable things for some people. Never get a note from them. Never get a thank you from them. Never get a word from them. It just burns me up. Am I speaking for some of you? The Bible says God, the highest, is kind unto the unthankful. And one expression of love is kindness. You see, we want to get by with, love you, buddy. I love you guys. Prove it. Be kind when they're not. Be kind when they're unthankful. Well, sir, nobody does that. God does. And he gives us his love to be able to do that with others. I've got my limits. God says, go beyond your limits. I'll give you the grace and the love to go beyond your limits. I said, well, that's a kind of life. I mean, that's a kind of life. That's a kind of life that you just only hear about. No, God says we can live this more excellent way. While we're on the subject, let's go to the book of Proverbs just for a moment. People love the 31st chapter of Proverbs about this virtuous woman. I won't read the entire 31st chapter, but let's get near the end of it. At verse 26, the Bible says in verse 26 of Proverbs 31, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. When she uses her tongue, she expresses kindness. Our words and the tone of our words. Oh, I need help here. I'm going to try to get it done in a hurry, like I said. No if, and, or but about it. I need a lot of help. You're listening to somebody that needs a lot of prayer here, that needs to really seek the Lord, because I've gotten too used to being a Christian without living the more excellent way. I've even pastored a church often without the more excellent way. And if you're looking at me with that sort of inquisitive look, I want you to know you rascals have done the same thing. God help us. She has the law of kindness. And we've just begun the list. Before you leave your listening, I want you to look at what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the covering for our sin. God says when we were unlovely, showed no affection toward God, he loved us. He commended, he demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he says of his children, the same love I've given you the ability to have by my Spirit bearing this grace, this love in your heart. And if you desire to live a more excellent way and have these expressions of love that demonstrate Christ in you, the hope of glory, it is available to you. Let's bow in prayer.